for me one day. God of promises and love and mercy too, I am only one of many souls who wait for you. In your Father's house I know you have promised I will go, a mansion with a room for me, heavenly. With your saints there I will be. God of promises and love and mercy too, I am only one of many souls who wait for you. Help me to wait patiently. Let me do your will and be ready as I wait to see expectantly Jesus coming back for me.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, mighty and immortal, you know that as fragile creatures surrounded by great dangers, we cannot by ourselves stand upright. Give us strength of mind and body, so that even when we suffer because of human sin, we may rise victorious through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
Dear Lord, please grant me grace to wander in your creation visage fair. Surprise, amaze me with your cosmos, that I may see you everywhere. Each day enrapture me with all your marvelous miracles, and open up to me what you want me to see. For wonders of the world in your creation, my eyes have witnessed many things. In grace you grant astonished reverence, for this witness my heart sings. Each day enrapture me with all your marvelous miracles, open up to me what you want me to see. Delight me, Lord, to see how Jesus lives in many limbs and eyes not his. That he's alive in all creation's faces, being certain that he is. I ask you for wisdom, Lord, but not your reasons. When I call on you, my ways are far too small. I only ask for one thing, Lord, to share the brilliant wonder of it all. Oh, for a sense of wonder, Lord, I celebrate your name. When darkness I could only see, you show your shining light to me. Guide me by your word and Holy Spirit, that I might recognize each sign, that in truth I find peace and freedom. In Jesus Christ, who is alive, each day enrapture me with all your marvelous miracles, and open up to me what you want me to see. Delight me, Lord, to see how Jesus lives in many limbs and eyes not his. But he's alive in all creation's faces, Lord. I'm certain that he is. I ask you for wisdom, Lord, but not your reasons. When I call on you, your ways are far too large. I only ask for one thing, Lord, to share the brilliant wonder of it all.
A reading from Isaiah. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up from the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going on your ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken the words of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. You made known your ways to Moses, and your works to the children of Israel. A reading from Hebrews. You have not come to something that can be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, the voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of all of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will they escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven? At the time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of what is shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us give thanks, by which we offer God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed our God is a consuming fire. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. At our national churchwide assembly, Bishop Davenport shared this story in her sermon on the last day of our assembly, a story about four people. Everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could do it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought anybody could do it, but everybody did not realize that nobody would do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. How easy it is for any of us to welcome, to be a place of healing, nourishment, refreshment as the body of Christ. We're taught, as we are priesthood, part of the priesthood of all believers, that anybody can engage in this ministry. As Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, he sees a woman who's been suffering for 18 years in our gospel lesson this morning. The woman presents with some physical symptoms that I'm sure put her in a great deal of pain over these many years. There are many things that she cannot do that other able-bodied individuals can do, yet she still finds a way to make it to the synagogue. Maybe it's out of persistent devotion. Maybe it's because she heard Jesus would be there on this day. Maybe both. Jesus, being Jesus, heals her from her ailment. But the leader of the synagogue is indignant of such an action on the Sabbath. Jesus is condemned for violating a Sabbath restriction. This woman had been suffering for 18 years. There are many people suffering around us. It is not only easy, but it's become our reality to simply be accustomed to that reality, to even dismiss certain sufferings as something that they must deal with, as opposed to us beginning to wonder, how could we accommodate and even alleviate someone's suffering? The brokenness within individualism in our society is that we say it's ultimately their problem. And we can even care less about it if we can be convinced that they brought it on themselves. Our third commandment is to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. But we forget that while that commandment is one of the commandments that deals with our relationship with God, there are many other commandments within those 10 that are concerned with our relationship to our neighbor. Love of God and love of neighbor are joined together. They are one and the same. The objection by the leader of the synagogue now does not paint the whole religious community in Jesus' day as a monolith. We hear in our gospel lesson, not everybody was upset. He was upset. There were some opponents. But there were people in the synagogue celebrating. They were rejoicing what Jesus had done on the Sabbath, alleviating their neighbor, their fellow family member in the faith, from her ailment. And Jesus points out how, as human beings, we are quick to rationalize how we can break the rules, we can dismiss what God calls and commands us to do when it serves us, when it's convenient. As Jesus says to the leader of the synagogue and his opponents, do not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey and lead it away to give it water? There are instances of high control religion within Christianity in our society in which leaders have demonstrated hypocrisy that is so blatant that when even drawing attention or seeking to alleviate the suffering that we have become numb to and accustomed to, they are quick to to get defensive. They are quick to push back and even condemn it with indignation as being unfaithful, not unlike what we see here in the gospel lesson. Jesus is seeking to be faithful. Jesus is seeking to embody the word so that this woman could be liberated by the word. And it is being called out by a religious leader as being unfaithful. And we see this play out in our society today. And we have become complicit in the act that there are people who are suffering in our world that are essentially nobody, that everybody should just ignore. Now, while we can't avoid a church being filled with hypocrites, we also can't use it as a crutch to avoid being self-aware, to use it as a reason to be gatekeepers to those who we just wouldn't want to have around, and neglect the ones that we wish would just go away because they're expendable at best. Many Christians in our society are amazed and worried about the decline that they see in the institutional church. But high control expressions of Christianity are starting to see the fruits that they're reaping. And an exodus is forming in those circles. We ourselves cannot lament how so many people work on Sundays, for example, when we are comprised of the consumers that create that demand. We cannot get on our high horse about the priorities that people make when it comes to the many activities that take place on Sunday, when we ourselves participate in them. But this goes deeper than just holy obligations on the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, because Lutherans don't live under such obligations, right? One of my favorite jokes about being a Lutheran is that Lutherans feel guilty about not feeling guilty, right? We're not tied to these obligations. We are free in Christ. We are saved by grace, not by our works. And our teaching about the Sabbath is about being centered in the Word. I won't get tired of quoting Luther's explanation of the third commandment in the Small Catechism. We are to fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching or God's word, but instead keep that word holy, gladly hear it, and learn it. Being centered in the word would keep our indignation and our hypocrisy in check. And coming from a Reformation tradition that promotes freedom and liberation, we have been guilty of reducing what we do when we gather for worship to be nothing more than an obligation and not an encounter with the life-giving Word of God, Jesus Christ. The Word of God comes to us. That's the good news. When we make it an obligation about here's what you have to do to come to God, we miss the gospel. God is always coming to us. God is always breaking through. In this instance, the woman did not ask to be healed, right? Jesus went to her. And when we do gather around word and sacrament, the King and ruler of the universe is coming to us. One of the reasons why I like reading the gospel in the center of the assembly is that image of the word coming to us in the midst of community. God coming to us in the gifts of bread and wine. God coming to you each and every day to bring you new life. So what did the synagogue leader lose for this woman being healed? Did he have to become disabled in order for her to be healed? No. It cost him nothing. But it upset him nonetheless because things were not completely done on his terms. And a microcosm of how this exists in our society today, I came across this week. Cracker Barrel decided to offer a meatless sausage option on its menu. And people got upset. They're adding. They're not taking away. Right? They're adding. And some within the customer base were upset and vowing not to eat there anymore. They're adding. Not taking away, adding. No one is forcing them or anyone else to eat meatless sausage at Cracker Barrel or anywhere else for that matter. But that is a microcosm in our society today, because the idea of wanting or needing a meatless option, the idea of those people needing that, those people existing in their space is offensive. Their space is offensive. They lose nothing. They do not have anything taken away. They're upset that those people are even acknowledged and accommodated. These nobodies seem like somebody all of a sudden within that base that's upset. They don't feel special anymore. They feel like they can just be anybody, I suppose. When we gather for worship, it's not a call for us to be an exclusive club that neglects the world. It's to be fed and filled so that we can share God's love with the world. The Sabbath is a gift given to us, not an obligation. In this instance, the woman does not have to ask Jesus to be healed. As I said, Jesus just does it. And when we come together, the Word, Jesus, the Word made flesh, crucified and risen, comes to us in word and sacrament. My takeaway from Luther's explanation of the third commandment, to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, as I've said many times, is that we don't find our rest in a day of the week, but we find our rest in Jesus, the living and abiding Word of God. Not confined to a day of the week. So rest and rejuvenation in Jesus Christ is daily. And we gather typically on the Lord's Day around word and sacrament to find a particular rest on the mountaintop with God. As Jesus says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, the Sabbath was made for humankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. The healing of this woman on the Sabbath is Jesus demonstrating the liberating purpose of Sabbath. She now has good news to share with all people. This woman now embodies the Word of God. When we encounter Jesus in our daily walk, when we encounter Jesus in our worship around Word and Sacrament, we go forth embodying the Word of God to share with all people. Which is why we cannot be a people that neglects. We cannot be a people that's accustomed to the sufferings of this world. For Jesus removes the barriers. And that's what we're called to do as well. All of us are called to this work. And we are seated at an ever expansive table of God's grace that seeks to draw all people to God's self. The joy we get when we find our rest in Christ spreads very fast when we share it. Think about how fast the joy of this woman being healed spread throughout the crowd. Many of us, all of us, are called to be on the lookout to those that need healing in their lives. May we all be on the lookout for those who need to know that they are loved and that they belong. May the experience through the freedom that we have in Christ, the love of Christ. The kingdom of God has no boundaries or restrictions. Share the good news that you have experienced. Bishop Davenport, towards the end of her sermon, went back to that story of those four people. Nobody, everybody, somebody, and anybody, and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. We're called to this work in sharing our joy and love of Jesus with everybody and anybody, for God's table of grace is expansive. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's extraordinary love, let us come near to the Holy One in prayer. You crown your church with steadfast love and mercy. Guide us continually in our baptismal covenant to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. Use our diverse gifts in service to the whole people of God. Merciful God, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for the holy people of God. Merciful God, you satisfy the needs of all creatures. Protect the habitats of the fish and birds. Repair ecosystems damaged by misuse, neglect, or natural disaster, that all creation may thrive. Merciful God, you make your ways known to all people. Inspire the rulers and leaders of nations with your compassion and mercy. Raise up servant leaders to restore places affected by violence, poverty, and inequality. Merciful God, you provide justice for all who are oppressed and relief to all who are afflicted. Heal those who are bent over by addiction, depression, and anxiety. Set free all who cry out under the weight of mental, emotional, or physical distress, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Amber, Pat, Vincent, Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Pete, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Mark, and our homebound. Merciful God, you call us to delight in the Sabbath. Renew our bodies, minds, and spirits in this worshiping assembly. Give rest to all who lead our congregation in worship, study, and service. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke, and their chaplains. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Generations blessed by your holy name, we give you thanks for the communion of saints who gathered in prayer and praise in this place. Support us in your love until we rest forever in you. Merciful God,
receive the prayers of your children, merciful God, and hold us forever in your steadfast love. Through Jesus Christ, our holy wisdom. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Freely we bow and pray for acceptance of that which we offer you now. Rejoicing, remembering too, everything comes from you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, and all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth the bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be forever the word for that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to call forward communion assistants and anyone participating in Children's Church this morning. Distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you.
Welcome to the table. Jesus makes us able. Bread and wine are given. All our sins forgiven. In this meal Christ meets us. In communion greets us. Where the cup is lifted, their new love is gifted. To the table come, there's room for everyone. Bring your broken soul, Jesus makes you holy. With all saints surrounding, love of God abounding, Holy Spirit lead us, Jesus Savior feed us. Christ is who invites us, and unites us. Come as you are able, welcome to the table. To the table come, there's room for everyone. Bring your loving soul, Jesus feeds you fully. With all saints surrounding, love of God abounding, Holy Spirit lead us, Jesus Savior feed us. Christ is who invites us, in this meal unites us, present and above us, promising to love us. Come as you are able, welcome to the table.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Announcements for the good of the community. Linda?
I want to extend a special invitation to all of our women. On the October the 8th, we are going to be having our fall conference and our fall gathering. It's going to be at St. Paul in Upper Sandusky. A wonderful time to get together with the women of the other churches who enjoy the time and the fellowship that we have together. Our program for the day is basically a morning program schedule. Ending probably around noon, beginning at 9. And our program is a healthy living. And for our program for the day is going to be Tracy Pryor, who is the wife of the minister at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And she is going to do our program for us that day. So I have the sign-up sheet that will be out in the fellowship out here for the Fall Fellowship Hall, and I would encourage all of you. You do not have to be a part of an evening Bible study. You do not have to be a part of any of the others. It's just a day of fellowship for the women. So look forward to having you join us for that day, October the 8th, Saturday.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.